in chapter 4, entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada.
Iti bhuvanam samstuya puninam dirgasatrinam vidhakula patishutam bhavicha shanako brevet.
On hearing Sutta Goswami speak thus, Shanaka Muni, who was the elderly, learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Sutta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Purport. In a meeting of learned men, when there are congratulations or addresses to the speaker, the qualifications of the congratulator should be as follows. He must be the leader of the house and an elderly man. He must be vastly learned also. Sri Shanaka Rishi had all these qualifications, and thus he stood up to congratulate Sri Siddha Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he had heard it from Shukadeva Goswami, and also realized it personally. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it, yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. That is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Shanaka, could estimate the value of the speaker, Sri Sutta Goswami, simply by his uttering yata didham and yata mati, and therefore he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original acharya. So the speaker and the audience were bona fide in this meeting where Bhagavatam was being recited for the second time. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam, so that the real purpose can be served without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation for extraneous purposes is useless labor, both for the speaker and for the audience. Translation. On hearing Sutta Goswami speak thus, Shanaka Muni, who was the elderly, learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Sutta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Oma Vyan Tamadandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshurin Miditam Jena Tasmai Sigurdavena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gorba Hare Krishna. Om Am Rim Chom Om Varom Tataka Hataka Keshika Jalak Parika Lochana Bhadraka Naka Sparsi Divasingha Namostate. Each year, throughout India, there's what we would call professional class of men who organize what is called Bhagavat Sapta. Bhagavat Sapta means a 7-day reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. I used to read about this in Prabhupada's books, and then I remember when I first went to India, I saw it was actually true, that professional men, professional devotees, they organized this reading. The idea being that Maharaj Parikit heard from Shukadeva Goswami for 7 days and attained a perfection in Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, most of these Bhagavad Saptas, neither the speaker or the audience is qualified. They are not like Shukadeva Goswami, and they are not serious about advancing in Krishna consciousness as was Maharaj Parikit. The sole purpose of the organizers is to make money, and the sole purpose of the people attending is to be entertained. But neither are interested in the essence of the Bhagavad Purana. Savai pumsham pada dharmo yato bhaktira daksaji ahaitukiya patiyata yayat masu pasiditi. that the supreme occupation for all men is that by which they can attain to the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. Such devotional service must be ahaitakiya pratyata. It must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to call such false preachers of the Bhagavatam yatra tela narada. This means yatra tela means it means like a theatrical group. Yatra tela is a theatrical group, and those persons who play the part of narada are professional actors who have no devotion. Yatra tela narada. Actor is professional men who get paid to do it or have some talent, but actually they have no bhakti, they have no devotion, so they cannot bring forth from their audience transcendental emotion. This is actually the purpose of theater. Just like we have our Bhagavatam, so our Bhagavatam is meant to evoke this mood of surrender to Krishna. That is the purpose we speak every day, to bring forth this loving sentiment for God. So acting is also the same purpose. It's not just meant to be humorous. I notice in Australia most of the plays are humorous. It's not just that humor is there with Krishna, of course, but there's many humors. There's many rasas, there's many mellows that we have with the Lord. So we should also become expert at evoking all these transcendental mellows. When Srila Prabhupada was young, he participated in a play. They practiced for 6 months before they would go on stage. And all the actors were bhaktas, they were devotees. So Prabhupada said, this was in his college years, when they put on the play, he said, as they looked out on the audience, they saw everyone was crying. So theater is a very powerful medium, and Prabhupada, he appreciated very much theater and Krishna consciousness. So let us learn also not only to evoke the humorous mood, but the other mellows of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes it is that these professional people, they play, but their acting does not have this effect. Actually, Prabhupada refers to the modern cinema. He said there's that farcical narada, the funny narada. I don't know if you've ever seen the children's videos. You know, Om Narayan, Om Narayan, 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 Narayan. Narada Muni is portrayed as a humorous person. He makes everyone laugh. This is quite unfortunate. Narada Muni is the greatest of bhaktas, the greatest of devotees. He's the spiritual master of many great personalities. So one should not make him the object of joking. Rather, when we think of Narada, we think of Krishna. But they have their farcical Narada, their funny Narada. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he compared these false preachers of the Bhagavatam like that, professional men who are playing the role but cannot evoke devotion within their audience. Actually, the duty of the Bhagavatam speaker is to present Krishna as he is. Thus, by his speaking, the audience becomes purified, he becomes purified. Anyone who happens to be in the area, they also get purified by chance or good fortune. This is the duty of the Bhagavatam speaker. So therefore, he must be qualified. He must be a devotee. Devotee means transparent medium by which the Supreme Lord becomes manifest. So these professional speakers, they cannot do that. They can speak and speak, but just to entertain the people, and then they get some monetary exchange. They get some cloth, they get some money, they get some gold, or whatever the case may be. They're not interested really in presenting Krishna, and neither is the audience actually interested in understanding Krishna. So they're like farcical naradas. So the epitome of this in Kali Yuga has recently come about. The epitome of this situation, that now they have a new Ramayana. Because the Ramayana was so popular in India, they have a new Ramayana. It's called Ram Kalikata. Ram Kalikata. It's Ram, Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman appearing in Kali Yuga. I don't even really want to repeat it, but just to show you the epitome of ignorance and this farcical narada, this professionalism, exploiting Dharma for one's own material sense gratification. The idea is, or the story goes briefly, that there's Sita. She's a beautiful young woman in Bombay. She's got a short skirt on. And there's Ram. He's a handsome, debonair type personality. And there's Lakshman. And there's Hanuman. And there's also Ravana. Ravana is a big business magnet, but he's a demon. So anyway, without going into too much detail, the whole Ram Kali Katha, the epitome of this principle, is that they have the modern day Ramayana is played out in Bombay with submachine guns and pistols and Porsche speeding cars and so forth and so on. So this is the epitome of this Yatra Dhali Narada, this professionalism. Professionalism in the name of bhakti, or name of devotional service. It's a very, very unfortunate situation. Instead of qualified Brahmins actually presenting Dharma to bring forth that bhakti or devotion within the people, now it has been placed in the hands of unqualified sudras. In Vedic culture, the sudra did not have the right to touch the Bhagavad philosophy. Of course, they benefited in other ways, as we mentioned, in theater, etc., etc. But basically, they sat and heard sudra, unqualified. He couldn't become qualified, but until he was qualified, he could not represent. Sudras did not actually study the Vedas. That was the business of the brahmanas. But now, we have the sudras presenting dharma in the form of Ram Kali Katha. It's such an unfortunate situation. Sudra generally, in India, sudra, theatrical actors, singers, they were sudras. They were actors. So now it is the Kali Yuga sudras. You know, Bruce Springsteen, Michael Jackson, excuse me if I'm a little bit out of touch with the times, but these are the persons who are actually giving instruction in Kali Yuga. So it's no wonder that the people are all in ignorance and passion. In Vedic culture, people worshipped the Brahmins. The Brahmins were enlightened souls and they were kind to the people. They gave their association to the people. They didn't hoard the riches as modern day Brahmins do, but they went out of their way to give their knowledge to the people, to elevate them, to bring them to the same platform of Krishna consciousness. So the people loved the Brahmins. They worshipped the Brahmins. So therefore, by worshipping the Brahmins, they became first class. Prabhupada said, you worship that which is first class, you become first class. But you worship that which is third class, you become fifth class. So that is a modern situation. These so-called leaders in the forms of entertainers, etc., they're third class people. So that by worshipping them, people become fifth class. You go door-to-door sankirtan, you get to visit a few rooms of the house, you see posters of all these personalities everywhere. People are worshipping them. So these people themselves in the mode of ignorance, perhaps passion, but a combination of ignorance and passion. So therefore, by worshipping them, the whole society is also in the mode of ignorance and passion. So it's a most unfortunate situation. Therefore, Prabhupada said he wanted to establish a class of Brahmins who could lead society. Actually, the devotees are meant to be the heroes. The Vaishnavas should be the heroes. By their purity and by their Krishna consciousness, they should be admired by the people in general. One of the primary reasons that religion has failed to elevate people in Kali Yuga is because there's no one properly representing religion. But as soon as someone comes forth like Śrīla Prabhupāda, who is a self-effulgent devotee, an acharya, all types of people fall down at his lotus feet. When Prabhupāda appeared in the Western countries, he appeared in a very humble way, but because he was a representative of the Lord, because he was self-effulgent, self-realized devotee, he elicited, or he brought forth, that mood of surrender in bums, hippies, intellectuals, politicians, housewives, everyone bowed down to Śrīla Prabhupāda's lotus feet. So we have inherited this mission of Śrīla Prabhupāda, and we can never be equal to Śrīla Prabhupāda in any stretch of the imagination. But in our own ways, we are all parts and parcels of Śrīla Prabhupāda. We should reflect Śrīla Prabhupāda's magnanimous nature, his Krishna consciousness. One time Prabhupāda said, you are my parts and parcels. And by being Krishna conscious, we should bring forth that mood of surrender in people. Actually, Krishna is all attractive. He's all attractive. So if Krishna is presented properly, who will not surrender? If Krishna is presented nicely, who will not surrender? Because he is all attractive. So if devotees become purified, then by meeting the devotees, the people will become Krishna conscious. This is a personal movement. So by meeting the personality of the devotee, we're inspired to surrender more and more to Krishna. because Krishna is so attractive. Who could not surrender to the Lord if he's presented tel quel est, as they say in French, as he is? But as is evident from Srila Prabhupada's purport, often the so-called Brahmins of Kali Yuga are themselves unqualified to present the Bhagavad Dharma. There's a quotation in the Varaha Purana: Rakshasha Kalim Ashricha Jayante Brahma Yonishu. Yonishu, Yoni means womb. Rakshasha Kalim Ashricha Jayante Brahma Yonishu. That demons take advantage of the age of Kali to appear in Brahmana families. It's a very interesting verse. Demons take advantage of Kali Yuga to appear in the families of Brahmanas. And Prabhupada called such persons dandavat devotees. Dandavat devotees means they're very expert at paying dandavats, but they have actually no surrender. They appear to be surrendered. Too much devotion is a sign of a thief. So they appear to be very devotional persons who have who worship Krishna with material desires. Of course, one may worship Krishna with material desires. Akama sarva kamavo mokshakam udharidi. Whether one has no material desires, one is full of material desires, and one is desiring liberation, by all means one should worship the complete whole personality of Godhead. But the idea is that if one's actual intention is not to worship Krishna but to exploit Krishna, those material desires will not go away. So one sign of our sincerity in the process of devotional service is that gradually we give up our material conditioning. This process will work. It is scientific. It has to work. Do not doubt. But if one is otherwise, if one approaches Krishna like sometimes the demons, who is that demon who appeared as a cowherd boy? Or rather, a cow? Palambasura. Palambasura, by his mystic power, he appeared like a cow, little calf, so he was going around, but his actual intention was to kill Krishna and Balaram. So, but one may worship Krishna with material desires, the idea being those material desires will eventually go away. Krishna is very tolerant, just like these young children. They're not paying attention to the class because they're young children. So they're doing all kinds of pranks and this, we're tolerating. But if Aniruddha starts doing the same thing and moving around and drawing pictures of boats and airplanes and things like that, then Aniruddha, what are you doing? So when one first comes to devotional service, the spiritual master and Krishna may tolerate. All right, you've got some bad habits, you're doing some nonsense. Okay, we'll tolerate. But after a few years, it's to be understood that these bad habits should begin disappearing. Because if we're actually applying the process of devotional service, it is sure and certain that one will give up his conditioned nature. I mean, after all, Jagai and Madhai got delivered. And I don't think anyone in this room is as bad as Jagai and Madhai. Certainly not. So certainly this process will work. So, but there are dandabat devotees. I don't know any, but okay, Prabhupada, you coined this phrase, dandabat devotee, one who pays his obeisances, but actually is not really interested in surrender. And these type of personalities, well, let's get back to the original point, the professional speakers in Bhagavatam in India, they're dandabat devotees. They're not really surrendered. They're speaking Bhagavatam, after the class, that'll be $30, please. $15. Well, that class, I think that's worth $75. They want to exploit the Supreme Personality of God. They make a mockery of devotional service, and they practice devotional service simply for getting money and women. They wear the saffron cloth for the purpose of attracting money and women. This is debauchery. Prabhupada, he told the story, he said, sometimes in the holy places in India, sometimes unscrupulous women, they go to the holy place because they want to conceive a child by a sadhu. With the understanding that if they conceive a child by a sadhu, that child will be a great personality. So they go there to become seduced. But then there's a class of men who know the intention of these unscrupulous women. So they dress themselves like sadhus and they go there to become seduced so they can enjoy these women. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, this is where he got the phrase, cheaters and the cheated. We use this phrase, devotees use it a lot.
Society of Cheaters and Cheated. This is the actual reference where he started using this. The cheaters and the cheated. The women come to seduce and the men are there to be seduced. This is a society of cheaters and cheated. But actually we can trace this disease of false representation of the devotional order back many millions of years. It's very prominent in Kali Yuga now. These professional devotees, reciters of Bhagavatam. But we can trace it back many millions of years, Prabhupada says, to the time of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was once performing one big Aswamedha sacrifice, a horse sacrifice. So by this sacrifice he would become supreme. The kings would often perform Aswamedha as a challenge to the other kings. So he was performing this. Now sometimes Indra, in the heavenly planets, he becomes a little nervous when he sees personality is becoming too powerful on the earth planet. He's got this inferiority complex, Indra. He's thinking, well, if they perform this sacrifice, this king or this yogi becomes too powerful, then he's thinking they're going to come up and he's going to take over my planet. I'll be kicked out. I won't be king. So what he does for the yogis, he sometimes sends down apsaras to try to make them break their vows. He sends some apsara to break the vow of the brahmachari. So in the case of king, this particular instance, Maharaj Prithu, Indra came himself, but he came disguised as a sannyasi. He wore the saffron cloth of a sannyasi. Even today in India, if you wear the saffron cloth of a sannyasi, people bow down to you. Even now in Kali Yuga, people bow down to a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyasi for this purpose because his students were not properly respecting him. The people in general were not properly respecting him. Just so that he could get their respect, he took the saffron cloth, he took sannyas. And he took Mayavadi sannyas. That was the only sannyasis that were around then, so he took that. But that principle was there to, you know, cause people to listen to him, basically. So, Indra, he took the garb of a sannyasi and he came and he stole that sacrificial horse and nobody stopped him, because here goes a sannyasi. Who's going to question a sannyasi? At least at this point. Who's going to question? So it probably said it began at this point, this debauchery, a false representation of the devotional order, specifically the sannyasa order, with Indras. No one chased him. No one even imagined in their wildest imagination that someone would misrepresent the devotional order. So this is actually the greatest sin. The dress of a devotee announces to the world that this person has given up sense gratification and he's worthy of being taken shelter of. They think that to become powerful in sense gratification, you know, then you take shelter of that person. But it takes more strength to control the senses. Vachyavegam, manasukrodhavegam. That's the real hero in society, is one who can control this. It takes more strength to control your mind and control your senses than it does to exploit those senses in sense gratification. So there again, the hero should be the devotees. One who has controlled his mind, one who has controlled his senses. That person should be taken shelter of. So the dress of a devotee announces to the world, here's a person who's given up Maya and is taking shelter of Krishna. So therefore devotees are proud of their dress, actually. This dress signifies our intentions in Krishna consciousness. So therefore devotees, they like to wear this type of dress. Because when you see a devotee like this, it gives you strength also, doesn't it? When you see a Vaishnava in Vaishnava attire, it helps you remember Krishna. So therefore we're always offering our respects to devotees. Thank you for helping remember Krishna. We offer our respects to the devotees. Why? Because that person is, in his own way, helping me remember Krishna. Even a new devotee, he's made an honorable decision. He's made a brave, courageous decision. He's given up meat, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. What man can do that in Kali Yuga? What man can renounce sense gratification? So therefore, even a new bhakti, please will accept my humble obeisances, Vanchakopada. That person's giving me strength by reminding me of Krishna. So therefore, as far as possible, we saw with Śrīla Prabhupāda, Prabhupāda was always a nice Vaishnava attire. His tilak was always perfect. His clothes were neat and always very clean. He always wore dhoti. Of course, sometimes time and circumstance is that we must dress otherwise to preach Krishna consciousness, but we should not exploit that concession.
Actually, it's much easier to remember a person when you see them in a dhoti than when you see them in shorts. Hare Krishna. When you see the beautiful flowing robes of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, it's much more inspiring than seeing someone's hairy legs. So, we have this tradition Prabhupada has given us. This is our culture. We should keep our culture intact. The whole purpose of this purport today is just to emphasize this point that we shouldn't change anything. We should present it as it is. So this is our culture. We should be proud. We're not proud to expose our bodies. This body is a sign of our forgetfulness of Krishna. We cover the body and wear devotional clothes as a sign of surrender to Krishna. So we shouldn't partake in the habits of Western culture, but we should be proud of our Vaishnava culture, and we should act accordingly, because everything we do has a particular purpose. The way we wear our hair, or we don't have hair, whatever the case may be, our clothes, everything we do, every little detail of devotional service has some significant, relevant purpose to becoming Krishna conscious. So we should not compromise. Prabhupada said at one point, don't let this movement become like Christianity, which means compromise after compromise after compromise after compromise, century after century after century. Compromise for what? We're simply compromising for material desire in the name of devotional service. So our duty to Srila Prabhupada is to have this movement remain intact exactly as he has given it. So our devotional address announces to the world that we've given up sense gratification. And therefore those who are sincere in spiritual life, they will take refuge in the devotees. Sometimes devotees, well, not so much in Australia, but other countries I've seen that they don't wear a devotional dress because they feel the people become inimical. But even if the people are inimical, at least we know who our friends are. You know? And those who are actually sincere in devotional service, who are looking for spiritual life, when they see a devotee, here's a person I can actually take shelter of. If after finally coming to the point where someone becomes frustrated with material life, and he wants to take shelter, if he can't find a devotee, that's the most unfortunate thing. Just like in times of danger, you know, where's the policeman? Somehow they're never there when there's a time of danger. Remember my father used to get a lot of speeding tickets. We'd drive along, he'd always get a speeding ticket. You know, oh, he got me. So one day the car broke down on the freeway, and we waited like 6 hours, and my father said, you know, now when I finally need a policeman, I can't find one. So people should know where to take shelter. They should know they can take shelter in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we have to advertise. Here's the shelter. Here's the shaved head, the saffron robes, or the Paramahansa robes, or the Grihastha. Here's where you can come and actually take shelter. We should advertise. Actually, we're advertising. By our devotional dress, we're actually advertising. So unscrupulous persons, they take advantage of this principle. And they don the saffron cloth for the adverse, to exploit others in sense gratification. Prabhupada called this merchant by day, sadhu by night. He told the story of one merchant who used to sell grains in Calcutta. So he wasn't making so much money. I mean, there's so many grain merchants, so he's going about his business. And in the evening, he'd put on old tattered cloth. With a begging bowl, he'd go around and beg. Prabhupada said he made more money begging than he did selling grains in his shop. Another instance, just like Indra, abusing the principle of being a representative of the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, Thakur dekiye raja karanteki. This refers, he said, it's better to be a sincere sweeper of the street than to be someone who simply worships the deity to make money. To show off the deity for making money. In this regard, there's an interesting story about Srila Prabhupada. That in the beginning of our movement, I think it was around 1972, Srila Prabhupada, because he'd stayed in the Radha Damodar temple for so many years, and he was very attached to the deities there, he wanted to, you know, give a monthly allowance to the Radha Damodar temple for the upkeep of the deities in the deity room. And it was quite a handsome sum. Actually, he wanted to give a significant amount of money to, you know, for the deity worship, just like here, such beautiful worship of the deity. So Prabhupada wanted Radha Damodar to be beautiful like this. So he offered that money, but he made He made one stipulation. That was that the money would only be used for the purpose of deity worship, and it couldn't be used otherwise. Now, the proprietors of that temple were what we call Kasko Swamis, who were actually just doing that deity worship as a family business, basically. They wouldn't accept the money. Because obviously their intention was that if they got money, they wanted to use it for themselves. But because they weren't getting the money, you know, out of spite, they said, we don't want the money. Because they were simply thinking of that money for themselves. They wouldn't use it for the deities. So just see how unfortunate it becomes in Kali Yuga. So therefore, Prabhupada said, out of the four defects of the conditioned soul, Brahma, Pramada, Karana, Apatava, and Vipralipsha, or mistakes, illusions, imperfections, and cheating, the imperfection of Vipralipsha is the most prominent, the cheating propensity. All the other defects are there, but the most prominent defect is the cheating propensity. And that cheating propensity becomes prominent in Kali Yuga. We've just seen it. We were in Canberra. There was this, sexy Sadie, the latest and the greatest of them all. You know, every few years a new one comes along, you know. So the Beatles, they spoke about. Of them all. I don't know if you actually make a catchy name. Guru Mai. She's got a great PR agent. You know, they take a picture of her next to the Himalayas. You know, she's got short hair, by the way. You know, very short hair, so she's got a little cap on. And she's got saffron robes on. And she's preaching about God. That you and me, we are all God. And by this intensive meditation, you will realize your divine nature. And become Bhagavan. It's preaching like this. So we called her Kangaroo Mai in Canberra. We gave a talk to some of the people who were, you know, so unfortunate they went to hear her. So we called her this Kangaroo Mai. You've gained nothing by hearing this. She's jumping all around Australia, you know, from Canberra. She's jumping here to Melbourne in a few days. You know, she's going to jump to Adelaide and jump to Perth. And she's going to make a big jump all the way back to Brisbane. So Kangaroo Mai, she's the latest and the greatest. Of them all, she's also the most expensive. $400 for an intensive session. You know, God knows what it is, what it means. You know, so these things are very prominent. Unfortunately, the cheating propensity becomes there even in religion. As you remember, the bull was standing on four legs: cleanliness, mercy, austerity, and truthfulness. But one leg was still standing. Fortunately, truthfulness. Prabhupada said, "There's still a little truthfulness left in Kali Yuga." But now even that is deteriorating, you know, as Kali Yuga enters even into truthfulness. That those who represent the truth are actually the debauchees of the highest order. So therefore, to simplify things so that people can distinguish what is religion and what is irreligion, you know, because people are very simple in this age. You can just concentrate on one thing. I was reading an article recently. It said that television is directed towards the intelligence of a 14-year-old. You know, they have to make television popular. They have to bring it down to the substandard of a 14-year-old karmi. So what does that say for devotees who watch television? They've got the intelligence of a teenager, you know, 14-year-old teenager. So that, you know, people are not very intelligent in this age. Still, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. Even the unintelligent can become the greatest intelligent by his mercy. So he has to simplify things. So, you know, less intelligent person, he can't concentrate on too much. So instead of all these rules and regulations in the Vedic scriptures, actually it's said in Kali Yuga, Aswamedam Gavalambam Sanyasam Palapakritam Devarena Sutapatim Kolopancha Virajaya. That the five things are forbidden in this age of Kali Yuga. A horse sacrifice, a cow sacrifice, the acceptance of the sannyas order, meaning Mayavadi sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and begetting children one's brother's wife. These things were applicable in present and at previous ages. But it became too complicated. People were exploiting it. So to make it very simple, there's one thing you have to remember. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Kalir dosha ni he rajan asti eka mahaguna kya tanade vikrishnasya mukta sangha. My dear king, same conversation going on 12 cantos later. My dear king, Kalir dosha ni he rajan, Kalir dosha, it's an ocean of faults, but there's one good thing in this age, that is simply by taking shelter of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can achieve perfection. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So people are confused. So we should stand forth as shining examples so there's no confusion. Actually, when the absolute truth is presented, people will appreciate, actually. People will actually appreciate when Krishna consciousness is presented, as Prabhupada presented it to us, they'll actually appreciate. The example has been given that there's so many people like fireflies, like Guru Mayi and Chin Mayi and, you know, this one and that one. I actually met, who's the one of the Sikhs we were talking about in the Yogi Bhajan. I met Yogi Bhajan. He came near New Mayapur when I was there at New Mayapur. And I met him on one occasion. He used to have his group come near the New Mayapur project. They had another castle which they would rent out in the summer, and they'd have their meditation sessions, etc. So actually, one time I met him, next year he invited me back. So when I came into his room, the women were massaging his feet and combing his hair and his beard and putting some perfume on him. It's just too much for me. So they went out, and I said to him, I actually said, you know, how can you do this? I said, you're supposed to be a renounced person, but you have women massaging your body. And he said to me, looked me right in the eye and said, yes, he said, you are the real devotees. You are the real devotees, not me. And he wasn't saying it like, he actually meant it. I said, well, how can you present yourself like this to the people? He said, well, there are many ways, there are many paths. And then he started, you know, backing off a little bit. But he admitted that he was actually a rascal. He was actually a cheater. So this is, you know, it's all pervading in Kali Yuga. So it's our responsibility to be what Prabhupada wanted us to be, because there are people out there who really do want to take shelter. We have to remember, this is, after all, a missionary movement. We have not come to Krishna consciousness just for ourselves. Now we have come to Krishna consciousness and we have been saved. And Prabhupada said, it is your duty to save others. So we can't become sidetracked from the goal of a Vaishnava. Panchakalpa tadubhyascha kripa sindhavevacha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah. That is actually our only business. That's our only business. We've given up material life. What reason do we stay in this world? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, if I actually loved Krishna, what would I do? What would I be doing here? If I actually loved Krishna, why would I be here? This is not the place for Krishna bhaktis. This is the place for materialists. Of course, that was his humility. So Vaishnav stays in this world for what purpose? Why not just give up this body? We understand the goal of life. We're not interested in sense gratification. Not dhanam, not janam, not sundarim. We don't want wealth. We don't want women. We don't want followers, fame. All we want is that we want devotional service birth after birth. So why stay here? We stay here because the purpose of the Vaishnava is to deliver others. That is the purpose of this Krishna conscious movement. So therefore we have to become fixed up devotees, not to become big devotees, but so that people will come in and surrender to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. This is, Prabhupada has taught us to surrender to Krishna, and now people have to learn that by surrendering to Srila Prabhupada they can perfect their life. So we have a very big responsibility. Now in the past, our acharyas have spent considerable time not only challenging mayavadis, but defeating imposter devotees, Bhagavat Sapta professional reciters. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his biggest contributions to the culture of Krishna consciousness was that he actually showed what a real Vaishnava was. Because during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, people thought a Vaishnava was just a debauchee, someone who ran around with women and had illicit sex. That's actually what they thought in the Mayapur area. The British had absolutely no respect for the Vaishnavas, because all the Vaishnavas were just, you know, trying to be Krishna to enjoy the gopis. Vaishnavism had become a debauchee's profession. So he had to go through, you know, all the teachings of the Goswamis and present what is real Krishna consciousness. And he himself exemplified that Krishna consciousness to the highest degree. And therefore, people started having faith again in the Vaishnav creed. He's credited with giving credence to the Vaishnav faith. So he had to reveal all these people for what they were. There's a famous poem, Eota Eka Kalarchela. Kalarchela means an agent of Kali. He writes, here is an agent of Kali. He has shaved his head and dressed himself like a Vaishnava, renunciate. He is wearing tilak and neck beads and worshipping Lord Krishna, but his interest is actually in taking another man's wife. That's pretty heavy. So the business of devotees is to expose the ignorance and reveal the light. So many of Srila Prabhupada's lectures are simply lambasting the materialistic way of life. That's all. We're meant to reveal ignorance. Expose ignorance is a better word. We're meant to expose ignorance and reveal Krishna. That's the two duties of a preacher. Because unless we expose the ignorance, people cannot actually appreciate the light of Krishna consciousness. So basically, this is the two subject matter of a devotee's lecturing. He defeats Maya, he exposes Maya for what she is, and he reveals the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes, even within Krishna consciousness, you know, these Bhagavad Sapta professional reciters, they have to be exposed for what they are. And Prabhupada himself was disgusted as a young man, because his father used to bring many people to his house. He was very liberal, Prabhupada's father, Gomohande. He invited any saintly person, or any person, even he was just whatever, he invited him into the house. Please bless my son to become a great devotee of Radharani. But Prabhupada remarked, most of these men, practically all of them, were not actually sadhus. This is, you know, this is in the 30s. 20s, no, this is the earliest 1800s. So, you know, Prabhupada himself, he grew up with a kind of disgust for these so-called persons, so much so that when his friend asked him to go see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he refused. He said, I've seen so many of these people. I've seen so many of these so-calls, I don't want to see another one. Nah, forget it. But his friend said, no, here is a real sadhu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is a real sadhu. So come and see. Practically, Prabhupada said, my friend dragged me to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He dragged me there. And then Prabhupada saw in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati an actual saintly person. He said, finally he met a saintly man in whose hands the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is secure. So now we have inherited this responsibility. Therefore it behooves us to act properly at all times. This means doing things exactly as Srila Prabhupada told us, not to add or not to subtract. As Prabhupada's claim, he said, I simply repeated what my Guru Maharaj said. One time we were sitting with Prabhupada, and one devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to be just like you. So all the other devotees said, you can't say that. You can't be like your spiritual master. That's really offensive, Prabhupada. You better offer your obeisances. I want to be just like you, Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada understood his actual intention. So Prabhupada lowered his head and he said, thank you very much. So acharya means one who teaches by example. We never think, you know, that anyone can become Prabhupada. But we want to be like Prabhupada. We want to be a devotee like Prabhupada. Prabhupada taught us how to be a perfect devotee. So we want to be like Prabhupada in that sense. We want to do things like Srila Prabhupada. And we may not feel ourselves very qualified to inherit this mission of Krishna consciousness, so many great illustrious devotees. And now we've inherited this culture of Krishna consciousness, and we're supposed to present it to the people. In fact, Prabhupada once referred to us as monkeys and bears. He said, Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enlisted monkeys and bears to conquer Sri Lanka, to conquer Ravana. So similarly, he said, I have my monkeys and bears. I have my disciples who are like monkeys and bears. But we can be successful if we always follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We may be monkeys and bears, but if we accept the responsibility seriously and follow the instructions, then along with those instructions will also come the potency to execute them. That is Prabhupada's mercy. So we have two responsibilities, actually. One is to act properly and one is to preach. We have many responsibilities, but all of them can actually be seen within these two aspects of acting properly and preaching. Both are necessary. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Haridasa Thakur like that. He said, some people act properly, but they don't preach. They're not interested in helping others become Krishna conscious. They act properly, but they don't preach. He said, others preach, but they don't act properly. He said, but you act properly and you preach. He said, therefore you are the spiritual master of the entire world. So Namacharya Haridasa Thakur. All these great devotees, we are meant to be Rupanugas. We're meant to follow in their footsteps. So we must act properly and we must preach properly. And then we can actually glorify Śrīla Prabhupāda, because one time Śrīla Prabhupāda said that a guru is judged by the quality of his disciples. So as Prabhupāda made Krishna famous, actually our duty as Prabhupāda's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren in the future is actually to make Śrīla Prabhupāda famous. Because we know, Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishtha Chikeva, who has ever been liberated without the mercy of a Vaishnava? So that's actually our duty. Our duty is to make Śrīla Prabhupāda famous, because we know by making Śrīla Prabhupāda famous, he can lead the whole world back home, back to Godhead. So we will give credit to Śrīla Prabhupāda when we act properly and we preach as Chaitanya Mahāprabhu glorified the Namacharya Haridasa Thakura. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Grantara Śrīmad Bhagavatam ki Jai Gaura Premanande Hare Krishna. I think the class is over yet, kids. No. Sit down, sit down. Yep, we're not finished yet. Krishna Dot and Sringa Dot, sit down. Are there any questions?
Have a garden?
Can you have the garden? Yes.
Prabhupada said that the chief density is the greatest in this age. And as described that devotional creeper, sometimes that the weeds are so close to the devotional creeper, it's hard to distinguish between real devotional creeper bhakti and one's own idea of what Krishna consciousness is. So how is one, can one guard against it even if it tends to cheat oneself?
By good association. It's most difficult for us to admit our own faults. But the Vaishnavas are very merciful. Actually, the mercy of a Vaishnava comes in many ways, just like Krishna's mercy. Om mam hrim shrom om param tataka hataka kesha gajalat padagalo chana panhataka nakasparsadita singha namostate. O my Lord, a transcendental lion, I offer my respects to you along with Mother Lakshmi, sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot. Your mane hairs blaze with golden brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are the source of all auspiciousness. So Krishna's mercy is there in the form of his merciful glance as we go before Shishirada Balaba every day. It's also there in the form of his chastisement. Sometimes the Lord chastises his devotee in order to purify him. So his representative may also act that way. Sometimes he may give some blessings, some encouragement. Sometimes he may chastise. He may reveal our anarthas. So that is the mercy of living in the association of devotees, because it's very difficult to maintain material desire in the association of devotees. They won't let you do it. They'll very kindly point out to you that you have this discrepancy. But we shouldn't hold the discrepancy against them. Actually, Confucius, he said, I got a quotation book yesterday, so got a new one. He said, better a defective diamond than a non-defective petal. Pebble. Better a defective diamond than a non-defective pebble. Perfect pebble, but it's just clotted dirt. If you find a diamond that's got a few imperfections in it, it's still a diamond. So devotees may have some remnants of, they're carrying some remnants like that from the material world. But in due course of time, that will become purified. It will become purified in the association of devotees. So therefore, part of our process of relating to each other is to reveal our mind. Not only taking prasadam together, not only exchanging gifts, but revealing our minds and having others reveal their minds. So this process of exchange, so we should be compassionate. And actually, in a spirit of love and concern, if we see something in a devotee, then we might mention it, Prabhu, this little... And when we hear something like that, we should react, thank you very much. What do you mean? I saw you. You also don't chant all your rounds nicely. I used to say you bow down only one arm. I was watching you too. Not like that. But if someone reveals something, oh, thank you. Because why? That whatever is there still in our heart is an impediment to our offering, nice devotional service to our spiritual master in Krishna, to the Vaishnavas in general. So that's our objective. We want to do things very nicely for Prabhupada. We want to do things very nicely for Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev. Prabhupada said detail is a sign of love. But to do things in a very nice detail. So if there's any detail which is missing, which allows me not to do it with pure devotion, that's an obstacle to my nicely serving Krishna, to nicely serving Prabhupada. So if someone says, oh, there's an wow, thanks a lot, I didn't see it. Couldn't see it. Thanks a lot. Now my service to Guru and Guranga is going to be better. So this humility is very important. Trinada peace and humility means to be able to hear our other Vaishnavas if they see something in us which is an obstacle to our pure devotion. So what is there? And obviously there's still something there. Because as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, if upon chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, one's hair does not stand on end. One doesn't get goose pimples. You call it down here? Goose, what do they call them? Goosebumps. You know, when your skin erupts, goose pimples. And tears don't flow from the eyes like torrents of rain upon chanting the holy names of Krishna. This means one is still committing some offense in his chanting. You know, we'd rattle off 10 offenses every day, you know. Oh, the first offense, holy name is blessing, great devotion, great devotion. Display instruction of spiritual master. But actually, you know, to some degree, that's there's still some offenses there. Otherwise, when we chanted Hare Krishna, you know, boom, we just Krishna. So something's there. So therefore, it's difficult for us to see it. It's really hard for us to see it. That's the nature of the false ego. You know, even Krishna is there as Chaita Guru. We can't hear. So therefore, there's spiritual master, there's Vaishnavas. They see. That's their duty. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, actually, Prabhupada said, they appreciated more being chastised by their guru than being blessed by him. Because that chastisement was a blessing in a sense that they could serve him better. So we should be open. And should be open. We should ask the Vaishnavas, please, look in my heart. Because if you look in the heart of Ram, or rather, Lakshman, or Hanuman, you open up his heart and you see there's Sitaram and nothing else. He'll open it right up there. Okay, so we have a program this evening? Here? I think John, maybe you have a program tonight? We'll have a program tonight. So please come to Sundaratik and maybe we'll show another video or class or something. Gatva Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanandi.